Welcome to Remember Me by Intervivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Welcome to Remember Me. I'm Glenn Wagstaff. I'm here in the studio with Mike Black. And today, we want to talk about something interesting. You know, a lot of times when I go to family events, and I was at a wedding last week and, you know, met with a lot of family members I hadn't seen in a while and just following up and, you know, of course, talking about situations. And sometimes I think about, you know, what would happen if, right? And I remember way back when I was younger, my parents took a trip up to Utah to visit my great-grandpa. So we had some real quality time with him where we recorded his life story. And it's one of the most cherished, you know, I think, memories of him was hearing him tell all these stories about his life. And we recorded it on, you know, a camcorder. But then he had also written his story in, you know, in a book form. And so, you know, a lot of the family has copies of that autobiography. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's interesting because, you know, sometimes we think, well, if so and so were to pass away or something were to happen to them, what would happen? And sometimes it's kind of the nightmare scenario of like, well, the fallout would be really bad. Or, you know, of course, people are going to want to remember them, but what do they have to be able to do that, right?
Right. You know, I remember, well, my parents had an anniversary, and we had a little get-together, and we had the whole family there. Well, everybody, almost the whole family there. We had pictures of everybody, and we had dad and mom's legacy there in photo. My daughter-in-law wasn't there, but we were able to put her in. You know, Photoshop her in, right. And it looks really good. But if you look at it, my parents have a really big legacy, as in people, posterity-wise. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, I've got a book that it's on the Black side of my family, that they put together, and it has stories, you know, pioneer stories and things, stories my grandpa used to tell me. So I've got some of those memories there. But, you know, it's bits and pieces that's not organized, and it's kind of hard to follow. So it's interesting to read those, though. But that is one way that I remember things, because I remember these stories he used to tell me when I was a kid.
When they're real stories that you can, you know, understand the scenario and the time period that they were in, those are the interesting ones.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got pioneer stories from him, and he almost lived back in the pioneer days.
Right. I mean, I was just reflecting. I have a good friend of mine who is a business owner and great storyteller, right? And I'm just, you know, thinking about this. What would happen to all those stories if he weren't around anymore? I mean, it takes a great storyteller to be able to tell a good story sometimes.
Absolutely.
And and sometimes, you know, it just doesn't do it justice to say so-and-so served in the Army.
Absolutely. You know, my brother, he passed away just last year, and he was a great storyteller, and we did not write those down. We didn't get those recorded at all. I mean, he would tell stories about working at the dairy, and he'd have the whole family just rolling the way he'd tell them. You know, how he'd follow the cows over, and the cows would make it over the hill, but he fell in the pile of manure up to his neck.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have those in his voice or anything, and it's sad that we don't have those.
So I remember, you know, I served as a missionary. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody, you know, at one point telling me a lot of their stories of, this was actually, you know, someone who had immigrated to the United States, and they were sharing their, you know, story about leaving their country under very bad circumstances, and they were pursued by, you know, people, mm-hmm, who wanted to kill them and so on and so forth. And then, you know, getting into the United States and kind of their long story of how they eventually became citizens, and just thinking, holy cow, you know, they say truth is stranger than fiction.
Absolutely.
Like, you couldn't make up this stuff. because they're like so crazy that like this actually happened to somebody, right? And I know who it happened to. Like I, you know, met them.
Wow.
And sometimes, and I just remember thinking for myself, and you know, as a young person that wasn't married yet, didn't have a family yet, but just thinking, you know, I have a lot of stories in my life that it would be a pity if they weren't shared. It'd be a pity if nobody knew about them. And
yeah.
Even, you know, sometimes thinking back when I'm with my siblings, when we were growing up, the times that were the funniest are just, you know, they're inside jokes or things, but they're stories that we share that, you know, could be forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't record them somehow.
Yeah. You know, back in the ancient days, when the American Indians, they used to pass along these stories, the legends, and they do it from father to son, and you know, the whole, everybody would know these stories, and that's one way they kept them. But you know, technology was not as good as it is now.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because the oral tradition, that's what they call it, right? When you pass on the stories from generation to generation to generation, it used to be the central tenet of society. Your status in society a lot of times revolved around how well you knew your heritage and your stories.
Oh, that's interesting.
And in fact, you know, the one of the most prominent roles in the tribe, right, whether it was Native American or whether it's other tribes in other continents, one of the most prominent roles was the shaman storyteller. Right?
Really? Okay.
Because, you know, and the chief was expected to know, you know, they most of the time they came from long lines of chiefs, right? So, you know, they were the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And when they would meet each other, they'd introduce themselves like that.
And that'd be a long introduction.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't unique to natives either. I mean, in feudal Europe, it was the same thing, right? I mean, you have your family crest.
That's right.
And, you know, especially royalty, right? They could name their genealogy back, but it wasn't just, you know, well, I'm John, the son of, you know, whoever, son of whoever, son of whoever. But it was, you know, that's how they even got their name. This was, you
that's
know,
true.
They got their name based on what they did and the stories that were told about them, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I didn't think about putting those two things together, but it's interesting how similar the cultures are, even though they're, you know, thousands of miles distance. You know, East and West are really a lot. I studied Japanese culture, and as I was studying the Japanese culture, I saw how similar it was to the English culture. You know, the caste system and how the honorifics were used, and it was really interesting. And it was also with the firstborn son. You know, we talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about the firstborn son had all the responsibility for the family. They had to make the money, they had to take care of all the rest of the family. So those kinds of traditions need to be passed, well, don't need to be passed on, but they are usually passed on. And that's kind of leaving a legacy there as well. And that's more oral, but it's more traditional kind of legacy.
I think as a society, we've really gotten away from this oral tradition and from sharing these stories and values and so on. And I think it's a problem. I mean, I think we're losing out on a lot of things. In fact, there's a whole psychological study, and there's a movement that's kind of based around it, and they call it the seven generations. But basically, you know, we're the link between the three generations that came before us. Right? I remember my great-great-grandpa, right? But my kids don't, because he wasn't alive for them, right?
Right.
And then, you know, my grandfather, he's declining in health, and you know, how long are they going to be able to interact with him before he's gone, right? And then my parents. But then we're also the link with the three generations after us.
Right.
Right? And so there's some responsibility of handing off what we've learned from the previous generations to the next generation. In business, we would call it, you know, institutional knowledge, right? You want to keep that knowledge inside of the organization so that it can, you know, perpetuate. But as families, as a society, I think there's value in that also.
I agree. You know, and I look at that when I tell stories to my family, and sometimes I get the eyes rolling back. Dad, we've heard this story a million times. But, you know, I think it's important. I remember sitting down and listening to my grandpa, and he would tell the same story over and over and over again. You know, but I remember him. You know, and I think that's part of it. Families don't communicate like they used to, and it's more... you know, it's more of the me generation. What's in it for me?
Well, I think there's society's coming back around to it. So after the break, we're really going to explore this in more depth. But at Inter Vivos, one of the things we do, you know, we do estate planning, but we do what we call legacy planning. How do you transfer these values from generation to generation? That's what we'll get into when we come back. It's not just about the stuff. It's about the essence of who you are and what you know and your values and that make up who you are. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are slick as ice this winter? Cut through with K-Talk Media, your favorite local talk station.
Peace Legal, we're a refreshingly different type of law firm. Other law firms charge clients by the minute. Sometimes you're afraid to call your lawyer because you're worried about the cost. Not with Peace Legal. You have the option in most cases between hourly billing and flat fee billing. With flat fee billing, you know how much your case will cost up front. One flat fee, no hidden costs, and no charges to speak with your lawyer. We specialize in family law, adoptions, divorce, prenuptial agreements, and enforcement of custody and support orders. We also work with businesses and nonprofits with planning, contracts, and employment issues. We also handle what we call life law matters. These are those cases that arise just by living life, buying a home, rental agreements, power of attorneys, and traffic and DUI matters. We have 5 offices in Orem, Ogden, Salt Lake City, Sandy, and Spanish Fork. Visit us at peacelegal.net. That's peacelegal.net. Or call us at 801-876-LAWS. That's 801-876-5297. Our consultations are free, and we will always work hard for you. Peace Legal. We're a refreshingly different type of law firm.
My name is Allison Johnson, and I'm an attorney with Peace Legal Law Firm. One of the reasons I became an attorney was to help couples with adoptions, and I am passionate about the legal work I do. Some adoptions are relatively straightforward, while others can be very complex. If you are considering an adoption, in the process of adopting, or have adoption-related questions, please don't hesitate to call me. Consultations are free. Please call 801-876-5297 and ask for me, Allison Johnson. That's 801-876-5297. Our website is peacelegal.net.
Hey, this is Stan Ellsworth. Believe it or not, I wrote a book. Yeah, man, it's about the heroes of the American Revolution. Kind of like the motorcycle culture, same mindset and all. You can get yours on Amazon today. So, man, get your Patriot on. Let your spirit of 76 shine loud and proud, baby. Get you some. Renegades and Rebels. That's us, man.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Welcome to Remember Me by Inter Vivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Hey, welcome back to Remember Me. Today we're talking about, you know, how to leave a legacy of values. And we were talking before the break about stories. You know, one of the things, especially my family's still pretty young, right?
So, oh, yeah.
You know, my oldest is 6 years old. And yeah, we tell them stories and we share about, you know, our life experiences and that sort of thing. But I heard at one point about a company that was helping people to create actual storybooks that were animated, like, you know, that had like picture books for kids. But the story would be whatever you wanted it to be.
Okay.
So it could be, you know, a story from your life, and you would have these picture books that your kids could read through and learn the stories, and but you're the character.
Okay.
Is that kind of fun?
That's kind of interesting. That'd so, be kind of fun to do.
You know, there's this concept that I've really been thinking about for years, because a company that's called How to Save Your Life in a Book, they kind of have this this concept that if you want to tell your life story, you don't just sit down at the end of your life and write it all out. And in fact, most people who want to write a book, it's really hard for you to sit down and write out the whole thing, right?
Yes.
So you write it one chapter at a time. Well, how do you write your life story one chapter at a time? You don't have to wait till the end of your life to write the chapter.
No. Right?
You take a segment. Right, yeah. So you talk about your childhood and you know, think about some of those stories. And if you want to publish, or if you want to, you know, have something that can be shared, you compile that part of it. And then you take your, you know, early years, or you do it based on, you know, if you're in the military, your military years, or, you know, when you got married, those, you know, courtship and dating and, you know, marriage stories, right? You know, if you have embarrassing stories, you make a compilation of those, right?
Those are always really good too. You know, and you can do it. You don't have to do it in chronological order either.
Sure.
I mean, the movies are never filmed chronologically. They take all sorts of different scenes, you know, the timing and everything, that then they put them together, they can edit it. And that's one nice thing about, you know, doing it on a word processor or however you do it, you can edit it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times when I think about, you know, the people who I care about in my family, I wish that there were instances that I had conversations with them or they were sharing stories. I wish that those were recorded.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, it's nowadays we have so many mediums. We can record audio. We can, and it's very easy to be able to do that nowadays. I remember back when you had, you know, the tape recorder that you had, and you had to have a separate microphone and everything else to be able, and the blank tapes, right?
We had the reel to reel, so you know. My little brother had a tape recorder. He used that and he loved that thing.
Right.
But that was the olden days.
Right, right.
And that was new technology back then.
Right. You know, the cavemen with their with their parrots that would parrot back, whatever. That's how they recorded, right? But, yeah, I mean, nowadays it's so easy to be able to, and the storage space and everything that, you know, that we have access to nowadays, that's unheard of.
Absolutely.
That, you know, in previous years, we could never store as much information as we can now.
You know, people, almost anybody can have a YouTube site, and then they store all sorts of things, whether it's true or not, they can store it, and now it's history.
Sure. And you can have your own, you know, on social media, mm-hmm. right? Videos, pictures, you know, statements. And there's so many people on social media nowadays that, you know, their profile is an expression of who they are.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, and I have a whole book on this. Maybe we'll do a segment on this sometime.
We probably need to.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, you know, those accounts don't just disappear when you die.
No, you know, and that's true. They don't. They keep coming up.
Yeah. And sometimes you can't actually close them unless you've left specific directions on what should happen with those accounts.
Right. I've gotten emails saying, okay, celebrate this person, you know, because of some kind of anniversary, and they've been dead for a couple of years.
And you know, there's been court cases where families have tried to close, you know, for example, Facebook accounts or email accounts of suicidees, and they can't because they don't have anything in writing that gave them permission. There was no, you know, expression. Nobody had access to the account, and because of liability reasons, they don't want to set up a precedent, mm-hmm. Privacy and so on and so forth. The company refuses to, right? And a lot of times the companies, Facebook, MySpace, you know, have come out on top. They prevailed in the actions, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, people need to be aware that whatever you have out there, it's pretty much permanent. I mean, you don't know where it's going to end up, and you don't know how long it's going to be there, right?
Right. So be very careful about what you post.
So, you know, again, we'll probably have another segment about digital planning as part of your estate, but leaving a legacy and all of those, you know, those sentimental, you know, personal things like pictures and videos you know, cards to family and all those sort of things are things that I think have value to leave behind. And, you know, I like sharing the story of Edison. When his mom died, he found in her belongings a letter from when he was young and in school. His teacher had sent a letter home basically saying that he was the dumbest kid in class and that he couldn't teach him and that he shouldn't come to school anymore. But his mom didn't tell him that that's what the letter said. His mom told him that his teacher thought he was the smartest kid in class and that there wasn't anything he could teach him. And because of that, he wasn't going to school anymore. She was going to teach him.
Oh, and look what happened.
And years later, once he's successful and everything else, he finds in his mom's belongings this letter, and he realizes what she did for him.
That's amazing. You know, and that is the legacy there. I mean, she left that legacy because she loved her son.
And that's those type of things are the sentimental, you know, that's really what has the most value. It's, I mean, would he have traded that for a few hundred dollars?
Never.
Would he have traded that for, I don't know, a nice jacket or, you know, I mean, it's not
Absolutely
about the
not.
Stuff usually. It's about, you know, the meaning behind it.
And you know, we've talked about that. And legacy doesn't mean money. Legacy is the memories. Legacy is who you are. I heard somebody say, you know, if you want to, you know, write your own obituary so you see where you end up and then start living up to that obituary. So those are the things that, you know, that's another way you can start leaving a legacy. Write your obituary and decide who you really want to be and how you want to be remembered.
Well, we call them ethical wills or, you know, basically it's just a letter to the family telling mm-hmm. them what your values statements are. If I were gone tomorrow, what would I want my family to know? What would I want them to prioritize? What if they were to think back to, you know, to the essence of who I was, what would they say I stood for? And if that's not clear, then we're not communicating it enough.
True. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, too, with everything that's going on. You know, I'm getting older and just the things that you and I have talked about. And last night I was thinking about, you know, after we had our conversation last night, I was thinking a lot about this. How do I want to be remembered? What is my legacy? When I was working, I always said, I'm leaving a legacy here at this company, you know, and I have because people email me or text me or whatever, say, I was just thinking about this the other day and I remembered you. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I've left something. So there is something there.
Well, I think there is. And, you know, the average person, no matter what your situation is, there's going to be some core people in your life that really would want to have that legacy left to them. And I think that, you know, even we were talking about a client of ours that that doesn't have any heirs. He doesn't have any family yeah. really left, and he's planning on leaving everything to the VA. But one of the things that he has is a large collection of movies, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, those movies could be sold and the value of the movies could be left to the VA. Or we can leave a library to be left in his honor, in his name, at the center where he's living, right, with the VA, and leave that in perpetuity for veterans to enjoy movies for generations.
For generations, and that is something that you can't take away. You know, and you mentioned also about that the people helping, you know, he hires people to help clean the house and things, and then them having that opportunity, writing a letter, saying how it impacted their lives.
Yeah, I mean, everything we do has ripples, and so, you know, when we get into this kind of planning, it really comes down to expressions of value and telling those stories and leaving it in perpetuity.